Because we are heirs of salvation, it's our salvation itself that gains us access to God in fellowship. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In our last installment, we began discussing the need for continued fellowship with God. And as I mentioned at the top of this hour in the introductory note, because we are salvation heirs, heirs of salvation, it is our salvation itself that gains us access to God in fellowship. And we need to realize this. We need to remember it. You cannot have fellowship with God without first having salvation. That's the requirement. But hey, fear not, because God truly wants you to have fellowship with Him. And that means for you to have salvation first. That's the only way. Now, in this series called Christ Our Righteousness, and by the way, this is part 9, in this series we've talked a bit about Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther of the Reformation. And last time, it wasn't my intent to drag Luther over the coals or to denigrate him in any way. God knows my heart, truly. My only goal was to point out how even devout individuals or seeming devout individuals can lose sight of truth and be drawn away from fellowship with God. I find it very difficult to believe that, considering Luther's attitude toward Jews later in life, that he was in true fellowship with God at the time. Now, certainly, I'm not questioning his salvation. I'm wondering about his fellowship. He certainly may have been in fellowship, and there's clearly a good deal of which I'm not aware. Again, God knows my heart. God knew his heart. You don't. Smile. I'm smiling here. But he serves as an example to us. If Luther can fall, so can we. If King David can fall, so can we. If Abraham can make a severe mistake that the Jews are still paying for today, then so can you and I. I used Luther as simply one example, that's all. I also discussed the fact that in our human relationships, there is something important that we need to focus on. We can arrive to a point of not even caring anymore about our relationship with God, our fellowship, or whether or not we're sinning. We do so normally because we allow temptation to sidetrack us. And then we start focusing on things we should not focus on. Those areas grow in our interest, while the important areas that should take precedence and absorb our interest and emotions fade. Now, we know what's wrong, but all too often, we just let it happen. I'm sure that's true of you. It's true of me. Now, once we have access to fellowship with our God, the very God of the entire universe and beyond, all of creation, we need to work at keeping it active on our part. God will do what it takes to ensure that He is heavily invested in us. But we need to do the same thing. That takes work on our part. Effort. Determination. Now imagine what it would be like if every day you woke up with excitement at the new day and you started talking with your spouse, for instance, if you're married. You ask them questions. Talked about the possibilities in their day ahead, and essentially showed them how much you cared. And what if their response to you was nothing? They didn't even look your way. Or if they do, it's a quick nod. Then they hide themselves behind the newspaper or whatever it is they're doing. Now, in effect, they're basically tuning you out. How do you think that feels? You probably don't have to guess. And I doubt you have to work hard at imagining it. You get the idea. You understand it because it's probably happened to you at some point in your life. Now, we do this to God because we are fallen creatures who run largely and unfortunately on emotion. When our emotions aren't there, it becomes difficult to push through to success. If you're like me, it's even harder because of the emotional upheavals I've experienced in my life since a kid. And that's not an excuse, by the way. I and I alone am responsible for the way I treat God, the way I act toward Him, and the complete lack of consistency on my part at times where He's concerned. I can't blame that on my mother, my father, my parents' divorce, my sister's untimely death, my mom's death, my dad's death, or the fact that my father never came to see me play a game of Little League baseball. You know, I throw all that out to let you know that those things happen to all of us, and worse things happen to some. But we are still ultimately responsible for what we do in life. In short, there is nothing perfect about our lives except God. Nothing. We had best stay in fellowship once we literally open that door to Him, which gains for us salvation. Revelation 3:20. And by the way, I want to briefly explain that. Remember, He knocks on the door, we respond to His knock. But He, in that passage, Revelation 3:20, is referencing a particular church that was already filled with believers. And yet here's Jesus on the outside, knocking on the door, trying to get in. For what, salvation? No, He's actually trying to get in for fellowship. But how does actual fellowship occur? Well, as I mentioned previously, it occurs as we get to know God. And how do we do that? There are two ways that God has revealed Himself. Generally speaking, He's revealed Himself in nature. This is the very general, I am God and Creator way of revealing Himself. And you'll notice, of course, and understand that there are many people in this life who see the creation and go, wow, evolution is fantastic, isn't it? They deny the very God that created the things they're looking at. The creation broadcasts God's power, His intelligent design, and the fact that He holds all things together, Colossians 1. The first chapter of Genesis says, in the beginning God created. It doesn't set out to prove God's existence, it assumes it. John 1:1-5 tells us without apology the following information. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Unquote. Now, the above information, first from John chapter 1:1-5, is simply presented as fact. It's not a debate. It's not a trying to convince us of anything. It just says this is what was, what is. It's patently clear that people can look at the same creation, as I mentioned, with some saying, wow, God is absolutely awesome, while others will proclaim, oh, isn't evolution amazing? Creation is more than, you know, what we normally think of it. It is God's more general way of saying, I'm God. Romans 1 talks about this the whole chapter. But there's another revelation that God has given us, and it is through His Son, whom, as we understand from John 1 above, was the Word, and the Word was with God, because the Word was, is, present tense, God. While Jesus is still alive today, we can't see Him. He's not on this earth physically. We might come to a point of sensing His presence through the indwelling nature of the Holy Spirit, but that is limited, purposefully limited by God Himself, and our inability to fully appreciate His presence because of our sin nature. Even though we're forgiven, even though we are a new creation, we still have a sin nature, and that will be with us until the last moment when we take our last breath. Now, God's Word, the Bible, in His Word, in His way of explaining Himself, in His revelation, is His final revelation to humanity. And this includes the revelation through His Son, because the Bible represents that written record of Christ's life, miracles, and redemptive work. It is something He began writing through Moses, and He didn't stop until all the T's were crossed and all the I's dotted by the Apostle John. In that volume, made up of 66 individual books that we call the Bible, is what God wants us to know about Him. Now, is that all there is to know about God? Of course not, absolutely not. But it is all that God believes we need to know now while we're in this life. Even though I can't see you, raise your hand if you have the entire Bible memorized. I'm guessing no one has raised their hand. My hand is certainly not raised. Then why are we worrying about whether or not there's more that we don't know about God? He is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, just to name a few attributes. We need to focus on what we know God has revealed in His written Word, which is really going to take the rest of our lives. Now, as I've mentioned, I've been married nearly 30 years, but started to get to know my wife before we were married. But here we are, 30 years later, And I'm still surprised to learn that there are things I don't know or never knew about her. She still surprises me, and I hope I do toward her as well. Now, with our next installment, we're going to focus on the whys, the wherefores, and the hows that we need to avail ourselves of the Bible, as well as why, too often, we don't want to do that. Satan wants us to think it's boring. And for those of us who are visual learners like me, I would agree that it can be a bit tedious. But I've got to apply myself differently, don't I? Because that's not a good enough excuse to not read and study his word. Oh, it's tedious. No, that doesn't work. We have no other option for getting to know our Creator than through the way in which he has deliberately chosen to reveal himself specifically. As I say, he's generally chosen through creation to reveal himself, but he has specifically chosen to reveal himself through his written word. It's not really that overwhelming. God does not expect you to know all of his word by tomorrow. He simply asks that we learn something from him every day. We'll be back. And until then, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.